Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Our guest this evening is Gary King. He's a radio personality, a music teacher, an individual who's ran for political office. He's an expert of government-created false flag operations like Sandy Hook and the Boston bombing. He's also studied the nation of Israel and how they've affected our government. And I'd like to welcome Gary back to the show. As soon as he comes in on, there he is. I think that's Gary, 504.
Yes,
Gary,
sir.
How are you this
evening? Man, just as honored as I could be to be returning to your show. I really can't tell you how much I appreciate you having me on.
Well, it's just a pleasure talking to you, sir, and I think you're doing great work there with Dr. Jim Fetzer. And
mm-hmm.
Feedback.
Yeah,
I wonder what, is that me or... I wonder what that is.
Is it me?
I don't know.
Let me try something. Yeah, did that fix it right there?
Yeah, that helped a little bit.
Okay. Well,
with the earphones?
As long as you can hear me well.
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay, I'm glad.
I think we're good.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right.
Did you, did you manage to turn our last show into a YouTube video?
You know, I have to say I did not, but I swear to goodness we will do this one. Dr. Fetzer actually came in with – he held two conferences with at least 10 speakers each, and we had to put those up on YouTube. So it was like an overbearing task to put 20 different speakers up on YouTube. So I kind of pushed it to the side, but I promise this time we will have it up on YouTube and have all the pictures ready to go and all that. And I figured since we were going to have another session, we probably would talk about some of the same things. So I'm more prepared, actually, this time.
No problem.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about Dr. Fetzer's conference?
Well, the first one came around September 11th, and it was called the Midwest 9/11 Truth Conference. And they had doctor, professor after professor. There was Nicholas Cullerstrom, Dennis Semino, just countless high prestige that have many more letters behind their name than I do. So there was that. And then there was also the other conference was Academic Freedom Conference. And the question was, are there limits on academic inquiry? And come to find out that if you're a professor in a university, there are limits to what you can research. And there's serious consequences if you cross over that line. At one time, JFK was that way, but pretty much, I guess that's started to calm down a little bit. But any inquiries or any research about 9/11 that contradict the official story, your teaching career as a professor at a major university is in serious danger. And the other one is the Holocaust. So there's a serious restriction on that. So that's what it was about. And they had 10 different professors who had brought up various subjects that do that come under restriction under our country's, I'm not sure exactly how to say it, freedom of speech, but it didn't seem to appear to be at, on a handful of subjects. It's what the conference was all about. And so Dr. Fetzer had 10 of those, so I posted them for him. I actually wasn't a participant in either of the conferences, actually. I was just basically the engineer behind the chair, making sure they got out on YouTube and the various forms of we go to a lot of places on the radio. We have Revere Radio. We have Firehorse Network. We're on Veterans Truth Network. It gets around, and a lot of people do post our stuff on their YouTube channel. So, you know, we do get out there, Dr. Fetzer and I, and I'm sure you're aware that we do a JFK show once a week, and we're up to actually episode 120, and I've got some breaking things when we get around to JFK that I'd like to actually break on the show. Mm-hmm.
Wow. How did you meet Dr. Fetzer? Do you remember?
Dr. Fetzer, I remember he was being attacked on the radio one time, and I'd actually had him on my radio show. It was called Patriot Radio New Orleans. It was on AM radio, WGSO. So I had him on several times, and there was a guy named Pete Santilli, and it was the most vicious, vile attack I'd ever heard on anyone. And Dr. Fetzer stood in there for 2 straight hours and didn't hang up the phone, and I called him right away, and at that point we seemed to bond a little bit. And then the next thing that was going on is I was helping him with JFK research, and I guess he realized that I kind of knew my stuff when it came to JFK, and we weren't happy with the JFK research community. And basically he co-hosted a show for 5 years called Black Op Radio, and suddenly they had a falling out, I guess you'd say, and we were not satisfied with the JFK research that was being brought forward. And come to find out, I hate to say it, but I think there's more than 9 out of 10 people that call themselves JFK researchers that portray them as being against the Warren Commission or the official story are working for the other side of the street. So
really?
It's lonely here in the JFK world. But, you know, we stand tall and we back up everything. And Dr. Fetzer doesn't just say something. He's got more evidence. He's got documentation, you name it. You know Dr. Fetzer. I think you've had him on enough times to know that he's well documented. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. You know, Dr. Fetzer did a show with Dennis Camino on the moon landings, and I think I've listened to that show 30 times. I enjoy that so much.
Yeah, after you find out, it almost gets comical after that. And I mean, you look at the astronauts, they only gave one press conference, and you could tell they were so uncomfortable they couldn't stand it. And it was probably one of the biggest shames of their entire life, but they had to go through with it. And so once you find out, it is hilarious. And I mean, have you looked into the Paul McCartney mega controversy yet?
No, I haven't. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, now look, this one's a hard pill to swallow, and it took me several years before I could even turn and look at it. But James Paul McCartney did indeed get in a serious car wreck in April of 1966, and died. All right, so they had a major, major problem on their hands. In fact, he was the number one star of the world. They were even saying that there are many, many teenagers that were going to commit suicide if they found out. But for many, many reasons, they felt that the Beatles just could not go on by having John, George, Ringo, and Fred. All right. In other words, they realized that they could not replace. They might have been able to replace Ringo, maybe even George, but John and Paul, that would be a little difficult. But especially Paul, he was the one that were really melting them in the aisles. Okay, so there came a time that the album just came out. I believe it was Revolver, and the Beatles were said, "Well, look, let's just let the album get out before we let the news go on." And they agreed to that, but it kept going on and kept going on. And they were able to find another person who was talented enough and looked enough like him, and his name was William Shears, Billy Shears. Remember, let me introduce to you the only one and only Billy Shears.
Yeah,
so
what was
he was
that?
Very,
so that was
very
it.
Talented.
They told it.
Talented.
They essentially told us, right?
They kept on and on. Now, I do have a JFK – I'm sorry, not a JFK video. I have a video on my YouTube channel, and it's simple. My name's Gary King. It's the Gary King YouTube channel. And we have an hour-and-a-half show with videos and everything of Paul McCartney's son, saying that he knew that his father had died in 1966, and he was very, very small, and he was visited by the Beatles. So if you really want to know, because it's the most well-documented, there's so much evidence, it's ridiculous. And it's almost like the moon landing. Once you finally give up the ghost, and then it starts to become comical, because let's think about this for a moment. Number one, the first Paul, up until 1966, do you remember just massive amounts of talented keyboards going on?
Yeah, actually.
He
was playing bass. Did he just play bass?
He was playing bass. They had a couple songs with a little piano in there, but it was very elementary stuff. But then all of a sudden you have Lady Madonna and
all this unbelievable
keyboard stuff. So he was a very, very talented keyboard guy and not as much of a bass player. So being a musician, I can tell the difference in their styles. I mean, one was a real poppy, upbeat, and the other one's more lumbering, because the poor dude was actually right-handed and he had to learn to play bass. So obviously he wasn't going to be quite as good. But anyway, that's just a little side story. So that's one if people want to really look into. It brings up a lot of that one. You have to just close off the comments because people get irate, and there will be 500 negative comments to every 500 good ones. So that one is very, very sensitive. So you want to be careful around Paul McCartney.
I'm real intrigued about, you said his son admitted that his father died. That's pretty huge.
Right. And in that video, he's reaching out for DNA tests with the other siblings that claim to be Paul McCartney's son. Now, there's also the fall, actually the guy that replaced him. So they've been trying to get DNA tests with him, but no one will cooperate. So it can easily be done, but a lot of people, I mean, the current Paul is not willing to do any DNA tests. That's for sure. You know, so his son is more than willing to do it, but that's a complicated show. But if you go to it, it's like I said, I mean, I'm not trying to promote myself like a commercial, but Gary King YouTube channel. And here's the title of the video. Paul McCartney's son says Paul died in 1966. And if you go to the description, there's a link that you can click on, and all of the evidence you could ever imagine, it's almost the size of the Library of Congress, proving our point about that. So, I mean, if you really want the nitty-gritty, I mean, down to the last detail with the color of the eyes and the clues and everything like that, then that's where you want to go. It's called Paul McCartney's Son. Said Paul died in 1966. Or you can just type that into YouTube anytime. You don't really have to go to the channel. And it'll come right up. It's my only viral video. It's got almost 150,000 views in a month or so. So
wow.
The other
that's
videos,
huge.
They do good, but not like that.
That's really
huge.
That's
the best ones we have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, do you guys do a show called Battle of New Orleans? Or is that one of your buddies?
That's one of our guys. We work very close together. In fact, if it wouldn't have been for me being on your show tonight, I would have been at WGSO Radio. It's an AM broadcast over New Orleans, and I would have been there tonight. And these guys, I was being interviewed on WGSO, and it was actually about the fake Baton Rouge shooting, which was very, very strange. But they had me on because they said that the guy that had been shot by the policeman, his name was Alton Sterling, and they actually mentioned that he was a sex offender, which told me right away that they had to post his information because all sex offenders have to have a presence at the sheriff's office online. So I went there, and come to find out, he'd been dead for four months. So
what?
Once again, we had a fake story going on, and they just do this all the time. So that's really one of my passions, is these fake news story. But once I found that, I sent it to the radio stations. Then they had me on as a guest. And then the guy for Battle of New Orleans Radio, they heard what I had to say. And we were basically talking about the Boston Marathon, Orlando, things like that. And they had me on. So basically we hit it off well. I've been having them on our show. Fetcher's had them on. And we've been working hard. We actually went to the Black Lives Matter event. They had a George Soros funded Black Lives Matter, where they said they were going to lasso the Andrew Jackson statue of him on a horse and tear it down because he was a racist or something. So we had to go, we went there and covered that. And
let me back up a little bit here, because I'm intrigued by this shooting, this alleged shooting of this man that had been dead for a few years. When did this take place?
Okay, if you remember, just a few months ago, Baton Rouge is the devil came to Louisiana, and there were the fake stories to really try to get as much racial tension going as possible. They broadcast a story that this man, Alton Sterling, had been shot mercilessly by the police department. And in, like I said in the broadcast, they said that he was a sex offender, which alerted me right away that they had to have a presence. So when you've been dead for 4 months, well, then it's not going to work, you see. So that's how I came to know those guys, because once I sent that to the radio station, they interviewed me about that. And come to find out, it wasn't just another fake story like that. But in other words, you're saying, well, okay, a fake story. Well, why? And what's the benefit of these fake stories? Well, I'll tell you. Number one, our governor, John Bel Edwards, just passed a law in late May of this year called Blue Lives Matter. Okay? Blue Lives Matter. And our police department is getting so much equipment now, militarized equipment. They've got robo cops. They have equipment they wear around themselves. They have real-time video feedback to the fusion centers and all that. But why did they pass this law? It said actually in the law that they were threatened by a group called Black Lives Matter. And if they didn't get all this equipment, you know, the racial tensions were just so high that things could bust out of control at any time. So they did get the law passed, and they got their equipment, and they got more funding and millions of dollars to play around with. And the most disturbing thing is all this riot gear and militarized equipment, personnel, vehicles. But so why – how did they get this to happen? Well, they – act like, in other words, they try to get the black community and the white community upset that a policeman just shot a black person just for no reason, only because they were black. But to come to find out, once you do a little research, the story doesn't hold any water. And that was one of them, you see. But it doesn't matter if the story was real or not anymore, because the law is already passed and it's over, you see. So you have
now,
to have,
you mentioned that the police bought something called RoboCop. What did you mean by that?
Well, if you remember during the this year in Dallas, remember when there was a shooting in Dallas right near Dealey Plaza? Do you remember that news story? It wasn't very long ago.
I missed that one too,
Dallas,
man.
He did? Okay, yeah. Well, they were shooting people in Dallas, and they had – it was another fake story, but anyway – this time, for the first time, that the person wouldn't give up, and so they sent in what they call a robot who killed the man. See, and that was unprecedented for that to happen. You see, so
wow.
they ran a drill. Everyone thinks that, you know, there's someone's running around a building shooting at people at random, but it's a drill. And so in the end,
it's always a drill, isn't it?
It's always a drill, and once again, what happened? Well, we have an unprecedented thing. It's no longer unprecedented, and it's a robot to go in. Now, did the robot read him his rights? I'm really wondering about that. He just went in there and blew up the wall and everything. So that was the story on that one, but it's over now. But now these, believe it or not, in New Orleans East, about maybe 5 miles from here, and now this story really sounds fishy, too. They said there was a domestic dispute, and the man would not come out of the house. Okay, now, I don't know of any fortresses in New Orleans East, and they said their ramming rod, you know, they ran the door with, wouldn't work. And then they said they tried smoke bombs. They tried to smoke him out, and he wouldn't come out. So they had no other choice. They couldn't figure out anything else to do but send in the robot. You see? So once again, I don't even believe that that ever happened, because I'll be doggone, if you got a bunch of guys and you got one of those door rammers, I think the door's going to come undone. You see?
But so you think so?
So yeah. And so there you go. So once again, we're used to it now. Okay, well, hey, they had to send in a robot. The guy wouldn't pay, you know, wouldn't listen. So it's just one after the other. And I could go on and on about those. And getting going, I guess my presentations that I have, I brought along, we could talk about Orlando, Boston, Sandy Hook, things like that. But what we talked about in the beginning was the Israeli influence, and I've been talking about JFK, and I would really like to talk about JFK for a little while and bring up a few things that we have uncovered as our we have a JFK team. It's named the people on it. One is Larry Rivera, Don Fox, Jim Fetzer, myself, and also a fellow named Ralph Sinkay. And what
sure,
I'd like to
ahead.
Do is everyone, what's the big question is, who killed John Kennedy and why? And I would like to bring to the table the actual letter. The last show I mentioned it, but I couldn't really remember it off the top of my head. So I do have the letter. And don't forget, I'm a Cajun from South Louisiana, so I'm not the greatest at reading skills, but I'll do my best and all that. But we'll get to that. And then we'll talk about dual citizenship and then what's happened since JFK has been taken out and where we are today. And it's a direct result that I hope everyone will see my parallel, and we'll see. So, all right, well, the news that I think I may have mentioned last time, but in JFK, the newest thing is, well, the second to newest thing, let me do it in that order. Number one, through facial forensics, which is an accepted method by the police departments and FBI and everyone else, we have been able to, without any question, because every picture that we line up, and here's the question, there's a picture called the Algen 7, and if everyone has a computer, they just type in the JFK Algen's, Algen's 7, and then that picture will come up, and that's what I'll be talking about for a second. When you're looking at that door, the problem with the whole JFK thing is that their patsy just happened to be standing outside this doorway at the time of the assassination. All right, so that has been a problem for 50 years for them. And so what they did, they actually did a little facial maneuvering where they put one's hair on top of the other, but they did everything they could to make it appear that Lee Harvey Oswald was not Lee Harvey Oswald. That was really Billy Lovelady, okay? Because if you have the accused assassin down on the steps, then everything falls apart from that point on. So we've been able to take pictures, and using new computerized things, we've been able to lighten that picture up where you really couldn't see him in the older ones. And so we can see facial features, and we're able to line up. And every single picture, without fail, lines up, matching that Billy Lovelady is standing next to Lee Oswald. We have been able to do the same thing with Lee Oswald. We've been able to take pictures and line up the pupils and everything else and prove without any question. And even though we've proved it many times before with other ways, like the clothing and other methods, without any question, it's over now. Lee Harvey Oswald was standing in the doorway at the time of the assassination, and their only excuse has always been that that was really Billy Lovelady. And the fact is, through our work, it's over now. We have identified Billy Lovelady as standing next to him. So that's one of the big – that's one, but actually everyone kind of knew that. Since the 50s, because Jim Garrison had mentioned that Lee was in the doorway, and other famous researchers like Harold Weisberg had said the same. All right, so now on to something that they didn't know and hardly anyone else knew, And your audience is going to be hearing some hot news as far as JFK research goes that no one, hardly, unless you watched our last show or so, is going to know this. But if everyone remembers, you can go to Google and type in images, Jack Ruby shoots Lee Oswald. Okay, so once again, what's happening with all this stuff is that the computers and the technology has just caught up with them because they were very, very crude back then, and everything's just not able to hold up like it did before. So the news is that, come to find out, they were not going to trust the fact. Well, let me back up a little bit. The one thing that really went wrong in the JFK assassination is they didn't kill Lee Oswald in the theater, and he was able to fight his way and scream his way out of that. Now, the problem was that they had to do something with him, but they weren't going to rely on a guy named Jack Ruby, some nightclub owner, mobster, possible other things. There could be no mistaking this. So actually what we found out is that it's actually not Jack Ruby who stepped out in the Dallas police garage and shot Lee Oswald. It's a man, and his name, we've identified him. His name is James Bookout, B-O-O-K-H-O-U-T. And he just happened to work for the FBI. And he was an informant for the FBI. So what does all that mean? Through everything that we've looked into it, that we have an FBI informant or a government agent who killed an FBI informant named Lee Oswald, and he was in a government building surrounded by government officials, and what it really appears is that this whole event was staged, and they may not have actually shot Lee at that moment, because what happened, as soon as the shot went off, five big guys just surrounded who we thought was Jack Ruby for all this time. And believe it or not, they threw a bag over his head immediately.
That's weird, isn't it?
Isn't it? And then no one said, hey, let's drag him into this room. Everyone just grabbed him, and then they went directly into this room after putting a bag on his head, which is the most unusual thing of all. So what it looks like is that Jack Ruby was made a deal, and he took the rap for killing Oswald, but he wasn't the one that actually fired the shots. And what it even looks like, that they may not have even done it there, because it's a little strange that Lee Oswald is laying on the cement and there's no blood, and then they put him on a gurney and roll him into a room and he stays there, but when they take him off the gurney, there's no blood again. So something's a little weird. They may have double-crossed him, where he thought he was going to participate in this, and he was going to be able to go off and sit Mai Tais in Tahiti the rest of his life. But I think they double-crossed him. But it appears to me and our researchers, including Dr. Fetzer, that it was actually James Bookout who was responsible for this. And if you wanted to look into it further, you go to it's called the JFK, the new JFK show, number 120. The new JFK show, number 121, and we're all over that. We've got 2 hours of research on this new discovery. And someone as obscure as James Bookout, so after two shows, the internet is lit up with people who are rebutting or rebutting what we're saying, and which is a little strange that in just a little over a week you can have that many people writing articles about just how crazy we are, right? So definitely struck a nerve on there, so because we're definitely being hit hard on that one. And like I said, no one even knew who James Bookout was only until a couple of weeks ago until we brought it up.
Mm-hmm. A new one on me. Anyway, yeah. So, if you don't mind, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. Have you been following any of this stuff with James O'Keefe and Project Veritas, where they got these videos that show the Democratic operatives like Scott Fovall releasing people into Trump's rallies to start violence? Have you seen any of that yet?
Oh, yeah. Almost all of these are staged provocateurs. And when I went to the Black Lives Matter protest. I mean, these people are paid, and they are bused there, and almost not any of these rallies or stuff like that. These are paid provocateurs, and it doesn't surprise me at all that things like that would go on. There's hardly anyone that actually goes up and has a protest and throws themselves at the police and all that. No, they have to pay people to do that. You know, nobody does that anymore. No one really does. And what? I really don't know that much about that. But have you heard about actually Hillary using a body double? Have you heard about that?
I'd like to talk about that. Let me tell 804. I have a caller that had their hand up for a while. It looked like they wanted to ask a question. Yeah, if he wants to ask a question, just press 1-804. If you want to just listen, that's fine. The body double. Now, looks like they pressed the button. So I'm going to bring on, we got a question here from 804. State your name, and you can ask Gary a question.
Yes, I'm Magneto, right? But I saw a video, right, that somebody in the front seat shot John Kennedy in the face. And I believe that's why that woman jumped out the car.
That's been a widely held view by a lot of people. And there are videos that if you really look, there's a shadow that actually goes on top of the man's head, and it really does look like that. It really does. But when you get real clear images of that, you can actually see that it's just a shadow on top of his head. But it was definitely raining bullets in Dealey Plaza, but the Secret Service agent, now, even though in our opinion he did not fire any shots, he actually stopped the limousine so everyone could unload their rifles in Dealey Plaza. The limousine stopped for no less than 6 to 15 seconds right in the middle of Dealey Plaza. So, I'm very familiar with that. Now, as far as Jackie going on the trunk, that was to retrieve a piece of her husband's head, which he held on to and actually presented to one of the doctors at Parkland Hospital. But, the driver was totally involved. Now, the Secret Service was completely involved. However, I've really studied that before, and that's actually – go ahead and take a look at that again, and you can see that it does look like he did it. But it was actually just a shadow.
Yeah. Hey, but I got one more good one. It's a biggie.
Yes, sir.
Do you remember them transmissions that Gordon Duff had retrieved from I forgot, but it's been like 3 years since I saw the video, and you know, since it was hot, it was about 3 years ago when Gordon Duff got these transmissions. It was showing Al Borland, right, getting shot under sniper fire, and they were trying to blame the the Muslim radicals and all them, right? But cut the fire, it was the Mossad boys.
The Mossad?
Yes, you know all that little community type people, you know. Look, I saw the video. And I tried to store it. When I went back to it, it was gone. But look,
it was gone.
Huh?
Yeah, it was gone?
Yeah, it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
But look, you get what Gordon Duff, this very important. You get what Gordon Duff and tell you won't see the transmission of Al Borland was getting shot on the sniper fire. See, they had made a video. They had made a video and put Islamic antics in the background. So Duff got it. He did the knowledge to it and put the Hebrew, songs to it, right? And Google them, took it down and suspended it within 5 minutes, Gordon Duff.
Yeah. Well, trust me, if it's being blamed on radical Islamic fundamentalism, you have a fake story on your hands, no doubt.
But
a manufactured news event.
Yeah, but see, all of them the same people. But see, you know when y'all white people messed up when y'all came over here? When y'all started messing with religion. When y'all started messing with religion, that was the worst mistake y'all could have did. You know?
Oh, man, we have been screwing up all along. I'll be the first to admit it. I don't think we've done anything right for quite some time. I mean, I'm with you on that. We've been screwing up royally for a long time.
Hey, look, I'm right here in Virginia, right? And I worked. I went on a work assignment, and guess what it was?
Mm-hmm.
A facility for gun confiscators and other type people, right? You see how big the Amazon buildings is? These million square feet buildings and things.
Oh yeah,
I know what you're talking about. Yes.
It was five of them. I talked to the white guy, right? And they had built five within 9 months. Asked him, I said, no, I ain't had to ask him. He volunteered. He said, we're going down to Texas. They was already in Texas, so they had just built the five one things here. And I went to the back, right? And guess what I saw? Two helipads. Yeah, they look like baby mammals. One of them looked like a baby man, and the other one was carved into the rest of the formation on the dirt, and a microwave tile going up the center. And I know what these centers look like because I did 15 years, and you know, yeah, it's huge. I'll tell you, man. See, can you Google it? Is it Colonial Heights? Hey,
well, Magneto, thanks for calling in, man. I'm going to put you back on hold, and we'll continue on here. You mentioned, Gary, you mentioned Hillary's body double, and I think that's a really interesting concept, and I'd like for you to kind of elaborate on that a little bit. I think that that's one of the big things that's been overlooked by the alternative community. Go ahead.
Yeah, what it appears is that Hillary has some serious health issues, and campaigning has got to be one of the most stressful things that there is. And it's looking to us, in fact, there's no question about it, that some of the news conferences and press conferences and campaign rallies mostly are actually green screen, and there's no one there. So that's been verified already, that she's standing in front of a big American flag. And what one of the big telltale signs is that there's many, many people with cell phones videotaping it. Only problem is she's not in the picture. And they're videotaping something else.
Right.
And they're actually not really pointing to her. And so nothing's coming up. And so in, on the flip side, there was a press conference recently, and you could actually see her in everyone's cell phone. So we had a real press conference there, but many of these press conferences are green screen. The people there are not even actually at that event. And then there's also, well, what happened when, you remember on 9/11 when she fell into her armor,
right.
You know, bulletproof van. Well,
sure.
The woman that came out of the New York apartment and said it's a beautiful day in New York was not the same woman. Now, she was
35 pounds lighter, at least.
No doubt, and younger. And then on top of that, there's another woman who was on the airplane in sort of like a wool outfit, in which was another person. So now the big telltale sign is that Hillary has a huge mole on her upper lip. So if you don't see that mole, it's not her. So but the idea of a body double is not unknown, but you can see where someone who has, from what I understand, she took a very, very hard hit. She fell and really hit her head, and has had some serious physical repercussions on that. And from what I understand, she may not even be well enough to lead. And
Do you think the person that we're seeing now is the same person that we were seeing earlier in the campaign?
Well, what I'm saying is there is the real Hillary, and there was some question if she was even around anymore with all these body doubles. But lately, like the debates, that is her, and there's no doubt about that. And she does come around, but there are many times when there'll be sightings or she'll be coming out of something and wave and all that. But it's really not her. And sometimes she'll be making a comment, a political comment about maybe something that Donald Trump said, but it's really not her. It's the other one. It's number two.
Yeah.
Instead of her. So,
it's
the strangest election of all time. It's got to be the strangest election of all time.
You know, I'm really concerned because I think if Hillary gets elected, first of all, I think it'll probably be because of voter fraud. And I think they can make those voting machines say whatever they want to. But I'm afraid that if Hillary gets in, it will literally, and I know this sounds over the top, but I think it could be the start of the beginning of the end of Western civilization, of our way of life. And I can tell you why I feel that way, if you're interested. But I'd like to hear what you think.
I have to agree with you. And the biggest thing is that if she gets elected, then we all have to know that something is wrong. Because I think I told you last time, but I was a Ron Paul delegate. And back then, at that time, Ron Paul was filling up arenas with 15,000 to 20,000 people. And Mitt Romney literally could not fill up a high school gymnasium. Just no support. Now, this is no joke. There have been many of her rallies where there's only 300 people, and half of them are the entourage, and the other ones are curious onlookers. She has no support whatsoever. So the idea that this woman can get in that has no support at all, and I'm not pulling either one. Well, I'll tell you why I am, but you're right about that, because Hillary Clinton has already scorched a country called Libya. She went in there and literally there was genocide that went on there. Now, you want to talk about racism? They were killing black people as soon as they found them, and there was a bounty on their head. Now, you want to get serious about black rights? Well, then here it is. But Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State. You know, don't forget it was Madeleine Albright that held that office at one time. And she's already demonstrated that she will mass murder hundreds, if not millions of people. And it's already happened. Now, as far as Donald Trump, he may end up being the most a mass murderer times 100. But he hasn't yet. And he doesn't sound like he wants to. But when we look at Hillary, the record is already there. About killing and just killing in the name of central banks. Because don't forget, the number one thing, the first thing that happened in Libya was a central bank based out of London. The first thing. And it was because Gaddafi was going to go to the gold back. I forgot the name of the coin. It was similar to like Denaro or something like that.
Denaro, yeah.
But it was going to be backed by gold. Instead of backed by nothing, and she has demonstrated she'll take out a country and level it. It was one of the most profitable. In fact, there's a great image. Go to Google Images and type in Libya pre-freedom and democracy and post-freedom and democracy. And there's a picture of a beautiful, bustling, wonderful city, and there's another picture of the same one with overturned buses and burned-out buildings. And that was their freedom and democracy. See, that's what happens to you when you have freedom and democracy brought to your country.
Yeah.
So,
well, we've got Syria now, right? We've got Bashar al-Assad, leader of Syria. He's working with the Russians, and they're fighting against ISIS. Now, but our government is threatening Russia and threatening to fight against Russia. We should be working with Russia against ISIS. And that's why it makes me think, you know, how you talk about how much Israel has influenced our government. I wonder if Saudi Arabia or some other country also have people within our government. Anyway, I mean, if Hillary gets in, we could end up in a war against Russia. What do you think?
She will do the bidding of the most evil people on the planet because they are the ones that have put her there. They have invested in her, and they do not plan on losing because they never do. And she's on the side of everything that I – all of my research and all the rabbit holes I've gone down, she is all in behind the people that I despise and the people that that need to go. And that's all I can say. I mean, she's Goldman Sachs backed. I mean, she couldn't be any more Israeli-backed than she is. It's just no question about that.
It's so complicated when you start studying this stuff. There's so much here. It's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you agree?
Is. Yes, I do. So what I'd like to do, I'd like to give a chance to read. To me, when people ask, why was John Kennedy killed? And as I read this, it's a short letter. Just think about what's going on today and if you can't see where it all happened. All right, so if you don't mind, this is something I really wanted to do. And then
sure.
I also have the list of all the dual citizens who are running our government if you want to get into that. But anyway, all right, this is a letter from John F. Kennedy to Prime Minister Ben-Gurion, and it goes like this. Dear Mr. Prime Minister, I welcome your letter of May 12th and am giving it careful study. Meanwhile, I have received from Ambassador Barber a report of his conversation on May 14th regarding the arrangements for visiting the Dimona reactor. I should like to add some personal comments on that subject. I'm sure you'll agree that there's no more urgent business for the whole world than the control of nuclear weapons. We both recognized this when we talked together 2 years ago, and I emphasized it again when I met with Ms. Mayer, Golda Meir, just after Christmas. The dangers in the proliferation of national nuclear weapon systems are so obvious that I need not repeat them here. It is because of our preoccupation with this problem that my government has sought to arrange with you for periodic visits to Dimona, which we spoke together in May of 61, you said that we might make whatever use we wished of the information resulting from the first visit by American scientists to the Dimona facility, and that you would agree to further visits by neutrals as well. And I assumed that Ms. Meyer's comments that there would be no problem between us on this. We are concerned with the disturbing effects on world stability which would accompany the development of a nuclear weapons capability by Israel. I cannot imagine that the Arabs would refrain from turning to the Soviet Union for assistance if Israel were to develop a nuclear weapons capability. With all the consequences this would hold, but the problem is much larger than its impact on the Middle East. Development of a nuclear weapons capability by Israel would almost certainly lead other countries who so far have refrained from such development to feel that they must follow suit. I made this clear in my press conference on May 8th. We have a deep commitment to Israel and its security. In addition, this country supports Israel in many ways, which are well known to both of us. And the last paragraph, I can well appreciate your concern for developments in the United Arab Republic, but I see no present or imminent nuclear threat to Israel from there. I am assured that our intelligence on this question is good and that the Egyptians do not presently have any installation comparable to the Dimona, nor any facilities potentially capable of nuclear weapons productions. But of course, if you have information that would support a contrary conclusion, then I would like to receive it through Ambassador Barber. We have the capacity to check it. Sincerely, John F. Kennedy. So at this point, Israel had no nuclear weapons whatsoever. Now, after John F. Kennedy was killed, then Henry Kissinger basically moved in and has been there ever since, and they have over 600 nuclear weapons, and they threaten these countries, and they're the ones that tell people like Iran that we're going in and we're going to check for nuclear weapons. So they're, in my mind, is the reason why John F. Kennedy was taken out, because he was not going to allow Israel with nuclear weapons.
I wonder about the psychology of many Americans, especially the people that are voting for Hillary. It seems that there's an element in our society that is just kind of divorced from reality. They're not thinking clearly. They're not thinking things through. I'm very concerned that we have this many people in our country that are not really aware of the danger that we're in right now. I wonder if you could comment on that, Gary.
I can't even imagine that Hillary could actually, and that our country could ever allow this to happen. And I just question if we have any say-so in it whatsoever, because these people you're saying, I mean, have you ever really met any Hillary supporters? I mean, people that are just dead set, or is it always a news thing, or are you hear it on the news or on a radio? Because I just don't believe that there's any support out there to measure. Look, we're talking about a former first lady that can't get 300 people to come to her conferences.
Amazing, isn't it? That really is amazing.
So I wonder if she's just going to be put in, whether we like it or not, and they can manufacture the stories and have, I mean, so they're, it seems to be they're massaging us now, saying, well, she's 6 points ahead. Well, Mr. Trump, are you going to accept a victory by her? Are you going to, you know, and it's almost like they're talking to us. Are we going to accept this? Because everyone knows that this one is the worst thing that could ever happen. And we are completely not in control if Hillary Clinton gets in the White House. And then because she represents everything, everybody who's pillaged our country and taken every job we've had and shipped it overseas, she's all in for them. And I just don't know if it's, I do have hope, and I really believe that these elites, as powerful as they are, they cannot control a landslide. And they can't control a phenomenon. So the Trump seems to have become a phenomenon, you see. But the trick is, don't forget, everyone's supposed to wear red on when they vote on election day, because we're going to be taking film and all that. And if it's a sea of red, then we're going to know. We'll know better. So don't forget to tell everybody to do that. So, I can't agree with you anymore. I can't imagine any worse for our country, and it just may, Trump may be right. It just may be our last chance, and I don't know.
If Hillary gets in, what I think will happen if she gets in, and I think there's a strong possibility, and I think you're right. I think it's probably a landslide for Trump, but they'll just switch the results on those voting machines. And what I think will happen is we will see some of the states starting to pull out of the union and form their own groups. And that may actually be a blessing in disguise.
You know what?
We don't have civil war.
Yeah. I might have to vote for Hillary. if that's going to cause that to happen, I'm voting for her.
Now you're down in New Orleans, right?
Yep, I'm down here, and man, things have been very, very tense in Louisiana lately. The flooding that went on just a month or so ago was just unimaginable, and I don't even want to go into the weather modification causing stuff like that to happen. But yeah, we've been through the mill. We've had See, the problem was it was a fake story about the cop shooting the other one, but then it appears that there were three police officers that were shot at the same time, the Black Lives Matter were there. So sometimes it's not all a fake story. Sometimes they do hurt people, and that's what's been going on in our state. Like I said, I attended the Black Lives Matter in Jackson Square, one of the most iconic places in the world. And there was really no one there that wasn't covering the event, paid for. I mean, you could tell they were actors. And then there was the police department. And there was really, other than that, people were eating beignets. They were having a great time. They were going from place to place, shopping. It was just a wonderful day. But you had to go into the Jackson Square to see the Black Lives Matter event. So it's just, it's like I said, things are really rough here in Louisiana. Since we've gotten this new governor, I mean, just everything's been going haywire over here.
Well, what else has been happening besides the flood? The flood was the biggest flood you guys have ever had, but, you know, they weren't saying anything about it that I knew of, really, on the news or anything. It was weird.
It was, like I said, a 1-in-1,000-year flood. People that never had flood insurance are going to be required to get it now because it never floods there. But guess what? It flooded there.
Well, Gary, we are actually out of time. I can't believe it. It's been such a fast hour. Do you have anything you want to plug, your radio show, anything? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'd like to plug up my friends there. They have a show. It's broadcast on the Internet as well as AM radio. The Battle of New Orleans. It's Nathan Lawrenson. Those guys are really working hard. What I do, I really do a lot of behind the scenes with Dr. Fetzer and some other researchers. We're putting together a JFK conference now. But just by default, all of Dr. Fetzer's videos have ended up on my channel, and it didn't start out that way, it didn't plan it that way, but that's the way it's happened. What it was, he was on Media Broadcasting Center, and they, from what I understand, they threatened him. He's from Canada, and they're a little bit more hardcore up there, and people were cutting his cable line, so he just quit. And so I ended up putting the videos
on my YouTube channel. Dr. Fetzer?
No, not Dr. Fetzer, the guy, Chance George, that was doing all the video recording. For about two years, I'm sorry?
They threatened Chance?
Yeah, Chance, and there were people just intimidating, like there was a guy standing in, you know, and looking at him from across the street, and then when he went back inside, his cable was cut, and really messing with the transmission of the shows. A lot of viruses shot through his computer. I mean, they wrecked his computer several times. But to tell you the truth, I've never experienced any of that. I just upload the shows, and they're at Gary King YouTube channel. And especially if you put in JFK, they'll come up right away. And it's not just JFK. It's all the topics and all the shows. Dr. Fetzer does a radio show three times a week, and they all end up there in video form. And then they go around to probably around 7 or 8 different internet, you know, sites like Revere Radio, Fire Horse Network, Veterans Truth Radio, Fetzer.blogspot.com, some other ones I just can't think of at the moment. And then you'll look around the internet, and now and then you'll see people posting what we have done. So we're working at it all the time, and I really appreciate you having me on the show. And you know, there's a lot of truth to where we are on my channel, and it's really hard to come by.
So last question. Are you going to vote for Dr. Duke?
Oh, boy. David Duke was at the thing. He's the one. I don't know. I guess I am. Because the rest of them are just your typical Republican Democrat, you know, so he'll probably stir some things up. If you really listen to him, he really does say a lot of things, if you really listen. But when I was at Black Lives Matter, they were shouting him down and telling him to go home, Duke. So
He says a lot of things that make sense, I think.
Well, he's one of the most demonized people on planet Earth, so you don't get to be demonized unless you're probably bringing up a lot of truth. So, so I guess I'll have to go ahead and vote for him just to make a statement, I guess.
All right, Gary. You have a great evening, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you again. All right, bye-bye.